Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the morning run continues. I'm Sharad Kirtan and welcome to the show that's all about personal finance. The topic for today is the pursuit of happiness and how you might achieve that with a little financial literacy. Julian Ng speaks to Tunku Ali Zakri alias Deputy CEO of Strategy for the Employees Provident Fund.
So, Zakri, welcome to the show again. Recently in the news, we saw EPF coming up with the financial literacy module. This is on top of the retirement advisory service that EPF has been running for a long time already. So my first question to you will be, why is it so important to have financial literacy and what exactly is financial literacy?
Hi, Julian. I think that's a great question on asking really the fundamental question of why do we even need it? We've really answered, I think, what is financial literacy? It's sort of like, you know, empowering the people to go and make the right choices, so on and so forth. But the real question of why depends very much on the different stakeholders. If you really come from, well, from a government's perspective, if you really think about it, it's to lower costs from a social angle, as well as to go and make sure you can get productivity gains from people, you know, if you really think about it. But what's important here, I think, is from the individual perspective, you know. And it's also quite interesting that you've actually raised the topic of the pursuit of happiness, because when you really think about it, I think money plays a very important role in a person's pursuit of happiness. And this is where...
It's only a question of how much money you need, right?
Exactly. Well, if you really think about it, you know, let's really go back to what money really means, right? It's a medium of exchange between parties or individuals, and exchanges of things of value in order to achieve something, right? And I think in our life at this point of time, the achievement of something is normally is about what is success. Well, in the good old days or the bad old days or however you want to say it, I would say that most people actually think that success is equated with money rather than what is the point of money? What is the utilization of money in pursuit for? So, you know, I really remember quite a few years ago, whenever I used to meet my grandfather, one of his first questions were always like, how much are you making? And I could never understand that, you know. But I think to those generation of people, and also to a lot of people also, how much you make, how much your income is, also determines what's your status in life, what's your, you know, whether you're on the track to success and so on and so forth. And I think this is where, you know, that thinking of you are happy because you are successful then becomes so prevalent in somebody's mind. Mm. But the real issue, I think, is when you are just pursuing money for the sake of pursuing money. You know, it's always searching or chasing after that elusive number. And once you reach that elusive number, then suddenly everything falls into place, you know?
I think it's very interesting when you bring up your conversation with your father, and that represents a sort of generation gap. And today, there is also that generation gap of between us and, let's say, the millennials who are coming into the workforce. And they have very different work ethics and work culture. Mm. They seem to place a lot more importance on the work-life balance. But, you know, going back to generations of old, there is this feeling that some overcompensation in terms of how much money that you're making must be carried out because you never know what the future holds, right? And therefore, in the short term, I want to earn as much money as possible regardless of what my level of happiness is.
Yep, absolutely. And that actually comes back to the definition of what is enough. What is enough at this point of time in order for you to go and achieve whatever you actually want to achieve, right? Mm. And I think this is where the role of financial literacy or even, you know, retirement advisory services and so on and so forth comes into play. This is where you as an individual would actually be able to go and have a very neutral assessment of what you need to do or you need to go and have in order for you to go and form the strong, solid, basic foundations from a financial perspective. Because if whether we like it or not, right, money runs the world.
Okay.
And whether you like it or not, even if you were to live in a cave somewhere, you will still need to go and have money to ensure that you have some basic sense of shelter, food, clothing, as well as also in terms of your health. Because if you don't have all of those, there's just nothing you're going to go and do with your retirement anyway, right?
So then the million-dollar question becomes, what have you got to do to earn a decent living or make a decent amount of money?
Well, okay.
Or to ensure your happiness. I think the last part is important to add on to.
Yeah.
What is the right amount of money to ensure a certain minimum level of happiness?
Okay, I think if you want to come back, is it really a million or not or less or whatever? Again, as I said, it actually depends on the individual. It's quite interesting, actually, when there was actually a study which was conducted in America, you know, where they were actually trying to go and say, so what is this minimal level, this magic number that you actually need to achieve? A study was actually done whereby they actually saw that if a person achieves $70,000, that is the amount of the well-being or the positive feelings actually starts to plateau.
$70,000 a year in wages.
If you have $70,000 of assets,
okay,
that is enough for you to sort of like come to a maximum level of well-being, positive vibes in that sense.
Okay.
And every $1 that actually keeps on going, actually it doesn't really add to it. So, but then there was another study which also said that, you know, actually that's not really true. They actually came up with a number of 75,000, but then they added in a new equation to it. It's about happiness also has an equation of your social standing. So this is where they call it as life equation, you know. And life equation is basically, no matter how much money you have, if you are perceive or you perceive yourself as not doing as well as your peer, then you are not as happy. So think about it. You're in this big, you know, investment bank or whatever. Everybody's earning multi-million, right? But if you were to know that your colleague is actually earning $5,000 more than you, you are not going to be happy, even though you are getting like millions of dollars. You know?
It's the keeping up with the Joneses effect.
Exactly.
Where you got to at least earn not too much less than they do.
Exactly.
But you know, 70,000 a year doesn't sound like a lot of money because at the present exchange rate, it's only about 300,000 ringgit.
Yeah.
Surely that sounds like that's not enough to last for the rest of your life to ensure a level of happiness.
So again, please note that I actually use the word positive vibes, right? It's actually not to go and ensure about in terms of sustainability, because you actually need to go and make sure you have enough money to go and maintain your health, especially once you reach your retirement, as well as also I'm assuming at this point of time, you know, your loans are already paid off in terms of your housing. You already have enough clothing and you also have enough for your food. So again, what is enough, right? So let's.
So this 70,000.
It's a well-being perspective.
Assumes that you have already settled all the other stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Okay.
Right.
So I mean, let's look at it from Malaysia. All right, and if you really want to go and boil it down, at this point of time, we don't know. Seriously, at this point of time, at a national level, we don't really have a solid guide, and in fact, I think most countries in the world actually doesn't have a solid guide because, again, it all depends from an individual. But however, that doesn't mean that we cannot do something about it. So maybe what can we use? Some parameters, some countries actually use like maybe, you know, poverty line. But really, at the end of the day, do you really want to live on the poverty line? I don't think that's really nice, right?
Yeah.
From an EPF perspective, we have this thing called basic savings, right?
Yes.
Now, basic savings, I won't say that it would actually guarantee your perpetual well-being, but I think it's a good start. At this point of time, we've actually determined an amount to be 228,000 ringgit, which you'll actually need. That really translates to roughly around 900 to 1,000 ringgit a month to last you for the next 20 years.
Yeah, so this is what Dato' Sharil said as well. If you had that amount of savings, 1,000 ringgit a month until you're from 55 to 75 over that 20-year period.
Yep.
But 1,000 sounds like a very small amount, and I think it hasn't even taken into account inflation.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's why also for EPF, we actually revise this number every 3 years or so. I think the last time when I was talking to you, it was 190-something thousand or
so,
right?
I think so.
So guess what? You know, inflation, it has actually caught up with us. But again, it boils down to that number. Is 1,000 ringgit enough? Seriously speaking, I cannot actually say yes or no because it really depends on the individual, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you are a person, okay, let's assume assume that you are healthy. And again, you know, with your loans are settled. But what if your lifestyle is the type, like you're a business class traveler and you only stay in five-star hotels, you know, to determine happiness, 1,000 is definitely not enough. But if you're the type of person who's like perfectly happy to go and live in the kampung, you know, live a very quiet life, you know, tending your gardens and your livestock, you know, hey, 1,000 is more than adequate, you know. So again, this is where it really depends on the individual. And I think this is where EPF has actually seen it. And that's why we said that we needed to go and set up what we call the retirement advisory services.
We're talking about how you can find happiness and money. And who better to talk about it than Tunku Alizaki alias Deputy CEO of Strategy for the EPF. Did you know that the EPF has a free financial advisory service? That's coming up next. BFM 89.9. You're listening to Ringgit and Cents. Julian Ng joins Tunku Alizaki alias Deputy CEO of Strategy for the EPF to talk about the pursuit of happiness.
Zachary, before the break, you were talking about how when people go and look for happiness, it may mean different things to different people.
Yep.
You sort of try to come up with a different magical numbers as well. Well, you have this retirement advisory service right now in EPF. What happens when a member goes up to a personnel of yours and asks, how can they be happy? I think that's such a loaded question.
Oh, yeah.
What would be the answer to this particular member?
Well, firstly, I think EPF cannot advise you on what is going to make you happy. You know,
but can you turn it around and talk about it in more of a financial planning
way?
Exactly,
yeah, exactly. So to a certain extent, whenever an individual comes to go and meet up with the retirement advisory advisor, you know, we are not there to go and make any judgment. We are not there to go and really give you the panacea to all of your ills. We are basically to go and sort of like make you really understand yourself. What are your current conditions? What are your current needs? What's your expected lifestyle? And does your savings or your investments cover what you expect and in the expected lifespan that you're going to go and live? Right. And at the end of the day, the decision has to be made with you. Now, most people, and I'm not just talking about Malaysians, especially when it comes to money matters, they don't want to go and take the decision in their own hands. They always leave it to a fund manager or you know, the salesperson. Well, hopefully they leave it with EPF to a certain extent. But again, you know, we can only handle a certain part of the retirement investment portfolio.
Yeah.
But you need to be empowered yourself to make the right decisions in terms of other investments, in terms of your insurance, in terms of your PRS, for example, you know, your private retirement schemes, and also in terms of taking care of your well-being in order for you to achieve your sort of happiness.
Yeah.
So again, you know, as I said, EPF, the services that we offer, is not the answer to all of your ills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? And I also think that over the last few years, EPF has taken great pains to say that EPF shouldn't be the only thing to plan for your retirement.
Yes.
In fact, EPF is just involved in the engineering side of things, right? How you can invest your money efficiently so that with the existing money, you get something at the end of your retirement. And you yourself, I think in the past, railed against all these financial status symbol.
Yep.
And you really want people to see through that's money, but it's not just money per se, right?
Absolutely.
It's what your philosophy of life is.
Absolutely.
Also.
I mean, if you really think about it, you know, the role of technology that is happening now is bombarding us with all of this symbols of what success is. If you look at Facebook, if you look at Instagram, you know, especially from a local perspective, it's being flooded with pictures of so-called happy, beautiful people, you know, composed of entrepreneurs, royalties, name it, you know.
It's like if you followed your friend's Facebook updates, every day you should go to a spa.
Yeah.
You should be traveling to a nice place on a weekly or daily basis.
Exactly.
You know,
it's
very depressing.
It's extremely depressing. That's the exact word, you know, because it actually sets up very unrealistic perspective of what success is. And it comes back to my original point earlier on whereby, you know, where we say success in life equates to money. And I think it's actually quite sad that we don't have more Instagrams and Facebooks of like what does the real meaning of happiness really equate to. You even have nowadays, you know, it's actually quite an interesting business model that I've seen, which is I don't think can be workable for everybody, where you see these beautiful couples going around the world and that the headline is saying, I've given up my job and I'm still making six-figure salaries, right?
Yeah, that's unrealistic.
It's unrealistic because firstly, you know, well, you need to go and have the basic package, of course, and people will want to go have to follow you. And you really need to go and have some sort of content for you to go and deliver to whoever it is. But at the end of the day, it all boils down to money.
Yeah.
You need to go and have money. So when you are financially equipped from a literacy perspective, yes, you can enjoy the pictures, you can enjoy the lifestyles of other people, but you can really cut through the fluff and really determine what is right for you.
So when we look at the kind of initiatives that EPF has with this EPF's retirement advisory service, as well as the financial literacy module, what can we expect from such initiatives?
Yeah. For the EPF retirement advisory services, because we are very proud to go and say that we call it RAS for short, by the way. We actually won an innovation award in the World Pension Summit last year in The Hague. We went up against, if I'm not mistaken, 9 countries, and when we were recognized for our innovation, you know, it's the second of its kind to be set up in the world, and as well as it's the first of its kind being set up in Southeast Asia. So when we first set it up around 3 years ago, I think we just had only 2 branches, but it has been overwhelming, by the way. So now we've got around 18 branches, and we're hoping to go and complete another 10 by the end of this year and another 10 by the end of next year. And to date, we've already had 32,000 people coming to go and visit
That's
us.
Fantastic.
Is this
located in the EPF office itself, or are they standalone branches?
They are in our existing branches, especially the big branches in the major towns, you know, like Johor Bahru and Penang, KL, of course, PJ, Shah Alam, so on and so forth, right? But it is our ambition by, within 5 years or so, that every one of our 70 branches, whether it's huge or small, will have a retirement advisory service. And also, face-to-face is good, but not everybody has time to do it. So we are coming up with modules with robo-advisors as well as also tele-RAS, you know.
Okay.
So people can actually call into our call centre to really get some form of financial advisory services.
Keeping up with the technology, that's
keeping
great.
Keeping up with the technology, you know, because, hey, if you don't keep up, you know, people's not going to go and trust in you, you know, in that sense.
Is that under the financial literacy model or that's still RAS?
That is RAS, and of course RAS actually has elements of, it's really driven from the financial literacy aspect of it, right? But this is really to go and help people to really deal with the technical aspects of your financial planning. But financial literacy, we are working together with Bank Negara also, which has actually set up the what they call the FEN, which is the Financial Education Network. Yes, I always get lost with acronym.
Alphabet soup.
I know, it's alphabet soup. So we are working together with the relevant agencies. So for example, a Securities Commission is in it, Bank Negara is in it, Ministry of Education is also in it. So we are trying to come up with a holistic financial literacy angle. And also we need to go and recognize that different people in different life stages actually require different sort of solutions, right? So when you talk about the younger group, if you try to lecture them, they'll switch off immediately. So you have to go and approach them in much more innovative ways. So for example, like EPF, I don't think a lot of people actually know it. We actually did a reality TV show called
What?
Let's Do It. Yep.
What?
See, you didn't know that,
I didn't
right?
know that. I would watch that. It.
We've already completed 2 seasons. We did not brand it as EPF because we know when you put the EPF as there, the younger people will say, oh my God, you know, why are they trying to lecture us? So it was a conscious decision. But year 3, we said, I think we are confident enough to put our brand. So we'll be coming up with season 3 soon. So keep an eye out for that. So that's for the younger side. We also have the youth outreach programs for which we call Y2. Where we have people of the same age group actually going out to talk about financial literacy. So it's not like your auntie, your uncle, your grandfather trying to go and tell you what to do, right? So then, of course, when we talk about the other segments like the pre-retirement, so those are the ones who would really benefit from RAS, for example. This is when you can actually come in and do a financial health checkup. Just like you were to go and do a medical checkup, you should also look in terms of your finance. But using medical terms, I think RAS is really your GP. at this point of time. You are just coming to go and have a general assessment. And if you need specialist help, that's when you should actually go out there to look at the specific areas that you need to address. Insurance, for example.
So every time when you think about advice, right, you think about very expensive private bankers and investment bankers getting advice from them. Can you disabuse us with the notion that you need all these people, and tell us about what kind of principles have you inculcated with your advisors?
Right. So, well, firstly, in terms of our advisors, we ensure that they are fully certified there, by the way. So because we want to go and make sure that the right type of advice is going out. So they are not only just going in terms of training for financial planning, but also from a counselling perspective, because we do meet up people who are really emotionally shattered when they find out that they don't have enough. But all is not lost, you know, because there are ways for each individual to go and address it. What we plan to do is we want to go and arm you with the right type of questions to ask when you go out to the professionals out there, you know. For example, favorite tactic of a lot of unit trust companies and agents is always to compare the returns of their funds to EPF. But the trick is they never talk about whether it is gross returns or net returns.
Or even the risks.
Exactly, you know. So this is where we are hoping that the individuals who come to see us, when they go and talk to these fund managers, they will ask the right questions. So what's the sales fee? What's the management fee? What are the hidden fees, the switching fees, you know? So, or even when you liquidate it, are there going to be fees involved? And what type of risk is involved in that particular fund? Nowadays, I can bet a lot of individuals don't ask that question. They just look at that big figure of like, wow, it's 8% a year, much better than EPF, which is substantially lower. Yeah. But when you you know, take into account all of those fees, sometimes you actually see it's underperforming as compared to EPF.
Yeah, I think people should know that what EPF manages the funds at, what, 27 basis points? 0.27%?
Yes, exactly. So that's which is one of the lowest in the world, actually.
Extremely cheap.
And the great thing also is that it, because it's not taxed and the compounding effect, you know, so you, even that has not been taken into account. Mm. Yeah.
And so all these services that are provided by EPF, it's all free of charge?
It is free of charge. And that's what, you know, I think that's the magic word that's going to go and incentivize people. There's no fees involved. And also, we don't do any product pushing. Because to us, that's, we know we don't have any products at this point of time to go and sell. Doesn't necessarily mean that we won't in the future, you know, but it would be products that would actually fit the retirement lifestyle or the retirement agenda of the individual.
And that was Tunku Ali Zakri, alias Deputy CEO of Strategy of the EPF, talking to Julian Ng about how to find happiness through financial literacy. You can have a similar conversation by visiting one of EPF's branches. Ask to speak to one of their retirement advisors. That's all we have for you this week on Ringgit & Sense. But don't forget, it's Ringgit Ringian next Thursday. You'll have a chance to talk to a professional financial advisor about your money issues. BFM 89.9.
Ringgit & Sense on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.